Good morning, church. I'm glad to be back again after the pandemic, right? And I'm delighted to be here and send greetings to you. And most of all, I think we got to continue on to spread the gospel. From the bottom of my heart, I've been serving with the CCACA, our Chinese Alliance Churches Association, for 12 years. After that, I returned back to my home church to serve as a senior pastor, the North Toronto Chinese Alliance, and subsequently I started serving with COI. And previously I have 100 churches to mobilize. Now I have 400 plus churches to mobilize across Canada. And for missions, for church plantings, for theological education, I ask that God to help each one of us. And today I want to share with you a special message on the anonymous ambassadors. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for granting us the salvation and bless us this morning as we meditate into your word. As we delighted to hear your word, we ask your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of our heart. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Anonymous. I know name is important to everyone. I have a name, you have a name. And when you have a name, most likely from your father and mother, right? And they have an expectation, don't they? And I think today, my name has a different expectation as well. I'm going to test you on some Chinese. You know, thank you for introducing me, Catherine Francis Tam. But my Chinese name is actually Man Quan Tam. Quan is a word in Chinese. In Cantonese, means guan. But this word has a special meaning, to be respected, kind of, but not very often being used in a name or company. People use the other word, guan, and effish. You know the difference between the word guan for respect and the word guan for effish, you will notice the size at the different side. The one side with the respect is with gum, with a gold, and the other side with the average, with mud or earth. When I was introduced in the church, a lot of churches, you know, mistakenly took my name to be the other one, Guan, you know, with a earth, with a mud on the side. And I often joke to myself, when I committed myself to serve the Lord, I see everything just like mud. I no longer treasured gold. So it's okay. You replace my name from gum, the guan, the gold, into the mud. This is, you got to have some Chinese background to understand what I'm trying to say. But it's okay. What I'm trying to express is that the name is important. But somehow, when you are in ministry, particularly when you're in missions, your name is no longer important. Sometimes, anonymous, no one knows where you come from, where you have been, and you may die without being noticed. That is somehow a bit unfortunate, but this is the fact. When people was being called by our Lord Jesus Christ to serve as the ambassadors of peace, of the good news, of the gospel, and preach, take the gospel to the ends of the world. And that means, most likely, your name will not be notified. There's not too many like Billy Graham, you know. There are not many like his son, Franklin Graham, no. Or John Stark, or those people. Most likely, remain anonymous. But that's okay too. Today, when we look at this passage, I want to introduce to you something quite important, quite significant. Actually, when our Lord sent out the disciple, I'm trying to move it. No, it's not moving. Can you move it for me? I'm trying to indicate there are four D's in this passage for you. 4D is like 3D, four-dimensional, you know, 4Ds. But these 4Ds represent some kind of important message that Jesus is trying to speak to us. First of all, it's a difficult calling. What do we mean by difficult? Let's look at the Bible verses. Now after this, what do you mean by now after this? Previously, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus sent out the 12. Those are called apostles. And they got names, don't they? They got names, right? You know all the disciples' names. But then at this moment, Jesus is sending out another 70 others, but they got no name. They got no name. And it's okay. They're being sent. But they're sent in pairs. You know, according to the Bible, two is better than one. And the best is have three because you have God with them, right? Two is better than one. So go out in pairs ahead of them to every city and place. You have to make sure the significance of the sending of the 70. And sometimes in some scripture, some translation, they have 72. Because there are some scripts, they actually have the word duo, D-U-O, as a Greek, in those texts. That's why, and they balance like half and half. So some translation may have 70, some may have 72. But that's not important. The important thing is Jesus sent out those 70 with no names. But then the 12, their target group is to the Israelites, you know, to the whole nation of the Israel, the Jews back then. Represent the kingdom of Israel. But then the 70 represent the world. Bear in mind, 70 represent the world because it's no longer Galilee. It's going to be Judea, the whole landscape. And there are many people, other different people groups in there. And of course, the 12 disciples, after the persecution, they were being sent all the way outside of their own household, outside the land of Israel. Many went as far as India, as you remember. And this is what we're trying to take on the task. It's a difficult calling. Whatever Jesus is calling us to do is very difficult, first of all. And we're saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Truly, you all understand this line of the Bible. It's been common, being spelled out clearly in every mission conference. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Too many of us are praying for others to serve in the mission field. And that's why we are not saying, we are not praying, we are praying to God, but we are praying for someone else to do the job. That's what we need to take into account for. Where are you in terms of responding to the call? It is difficult, we know that. Years ago, I was in China. I visited the Alliance Bible Seminary. That was built kind of 1899 by Alliance missionary, Dr. Robert Grover. And then Dr. Robert Jeffrey took on the task as well. Since then, there are something like 2,000 workers, Bible graduates, being sent all over the world as of today. This is a significant milestone of mission work in China. So I got to go and visit the place. This is in Guangxi, in Wuzhou. And this is a place. I went there, you know, the seminary is still there, but then it's already converted into some kind of an old age facility. I visited those places. I kind of picture seeing when those Bible students were being trained up over there, you know, studied their Bible daily, devoted themselves, and ready to be sent. I kind of picture and treasure those moments. And then the team, right, took a tour bus from Guangxi into Nanning. That's another place in Guangxi, which is the capital city of Guangxi. Along those lines, I mean, travel from one city to another, The bus took us along, and it's beautiful scenery. What I can see is, that is the harvest time. I can see many, many harvests being put out, you know, all ripened. But then I can only see a few workers. This passage immediately came to my mind. I can recall immediately, almost. See, this is the picture, the field. A wide harvest of weapon, but then only a few workers. So pray and ask the Lord to send more. But today, we are praying for others to go. In Guangxi, in Nanning, when I arrived in that city, you know, local church pastor took us into the tour. We went up to Yong'an, Yongshui, and those small towns, right? And I can see those unknown tombstones. There are many unknown tombstones over there. And the pastor has been telling me, those are the missionaries who came in the past 100 years. Those even died without getting their name noticed. They never get a chance to return back to America or Canada. And they just died there, devoted their life for the Chinese people. That's why today you have a so strong a Chinese church. Underground church or registered church doesn't really matter. You have a so strong a Chinese church in China right now. But now they're closing up. Some Korean missionaries are being asked not to return and they're sent into Canada or into other places. Those Korean missionaries, they are fluent in Mandarin. Train and prepare to serve in China. Someone like 400 plus of them. And they are now being redeployed into different locations around the world. This is a difficult call. But are we ready to respond to the call? The second D, it's a dangerous task. It's not just difficult. It's dangerous. Verse 3, what our Lord trying to tell us, go, behold, I send you out as lamb into the midst of wolves. You can again picture this. Wow, what are we trying to do? Those are beloved pastors, you know, beloved brothers and sisters. We're sending them into that kind of a hostile situation. We used to have M1, M2, and M3. M3 meaning is cross-cultural missions, right? But now the term M4 is coming up. Whenever you're being sent to a hostile nations, likely you will be killed or being persecuted. This is M4. Are you going to take that task? It is dangerous. I can see it is dangerous. It's not an easy task. But how can we comprehend and respond to God? This is why when we're trying to do the work of God, particularly the work of missions, we got to be smart. Be smart. Smart, S-M-A-R-T, the acronym, actually represents 5 very important points that our mission work should be focused on. Smart, S, is for specific. You're being sent to a specific location. Like I mentioned, in Guangxi, Nanning, you serve there for 50 years. Likely you will die there, a very specific task that God has given you. Sometimes you go to a location, limited access nation, that kind of thing, specific. With your skills, with your training, you may be good for those locations. So you go in the smart way, not just following people, like lambs into the wolves. M meaning measurable. S is for specific. M is for measurable. It's a measurable task. Kind of, when you're being sent, you know that what you're trying to do. You have a budget. You have a way to handle it. You have a plan. It's measurable plan. If you think, it doesn't really work out. Maybe it's time for you to come back. No hard feeling. Because being smart. Achievable is A. The task you're doing is daunting, of course, but it's achievable. If you look at that into that, put that into perspective, something is achievable. So you have a plan, you pray, you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through. Relevant is the R. Relevant is important. Whatever you're doing is relevant to the mission, the overall plan or overall strategic, you know, scope of the mission work. Likely it's not only you were being sent, there may be another couple, another missionary, you know, teaming up together. This is the alliance strategy. Bear in mind. And also, time bound. You're not being sent there like forever now. We know, you know, forever doesn't really work out. So now and 2 days, 4 years, a term, come back, furlough for 1 year, resend for another 4 years. That kind of continuous training. But even back those days, people keep returning to the mission field because they know this is the place that they were likely to die for. And they're so satisfied because the Holy Spirit has been protecting them, guiding them. So be smart, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Let's do that. So there's no need, I think, to be like following our pastor like lambs into the wolf. I think this is kind of an example or exaggeration, word pictures to the extreme that we can know. But indeed, it is dangerous. 2 years ago in 2020, May 2020, there's a pastor, a missionary pilot. Her name is Joyce Lin. Well, I got her name because happened I read into an article and someone was so nice to put up her role in those mission tasks. That was May 2020. Joyce Lin was a trained pilot, missionary pilot. She is trying to deliver COVID medicines to Indonesian islands. There are thousands of islands, you know, that in Indonesia. So Joyce was, you know, flying those planes. She was only 40 years old. But then, bad news came. Her plane accidentally dropped, and there's an accident. So she passed away. Very unfortunate. Well, not too many people know, right? Not until today I told you, right? Do you know there's a pilot missionary gave up her life to serve Christ, delivering COVID medicine. That was in May 2020. Not easy. It's dangerous. May God urge us. May the Holy Spirit give us peace, knowing that it's dangerous. But God has a plan in our life. Let's move on to the third task. The third D is a disciplined faith. It got to be disciplined. It's dangerous, you know, it's difficult, but it got to be disciplined as well. Our faith, if we have to take up that task, it's not an easy one. Carry no money, belt, no bag, no shoes, greet no one. Meaning, you travel light. I remember when Pastor Dick Khan, you may have heard from him before, our missionary in France, in Paris, you know, he and I are good friends for 30 years. I visited him many times in Paris. And he often told me, for the very first day when I traveled to Paris, before that, he told me, travel light, because in Paris, it's not like in Toronto. your luggages, you know, your suitcase won't go full. Travel light. And those, you know, underground train, those very, very tiny, small. And we know that, powerful light. But Jesus is telling us that we should not have anything like holding us back. Carrying no money belt doesn't really mean that you don't prepare for it. But God has actually prepared for you. There will be people hospitable to receive you. And at the same time, with no one on your way. It's not saying, Jesus is not saying that we are not unfriendly, we are kind of unfriendly or unsociable. But we got to know, for the Eastern culture, right, the Near East culture, and people, you know, very hospitable, and the greeting sometimes takes a few days. That means you stay in the home for a few days. And you don't want to do that, right? Don't waste your time, even though it's a very nice gesture. But focus on your task. That's why we need a disciplined faith. More importantly, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to the house. Remember the Joshua time in the Old Testament, when Joshua tried to conquer the land of Canaan, and that is a law from Deuteronomy saying that whenever you conquer a city, first, declare peace to that city. If they surrender, all good. If no, then you're going to do what you have to do. For us, when we are telling the gospel, the good news to people, declare peace be to them. If there's a man of peace over there, deserve it, they will receive you wholeheartedly. Thank God for that wonderful allowance. And then stay in the house, eating and drinking what they gave you. So don't ask for extra. Whatever they put on the table, consume it. Because the laborer is worthy of his wages. Later on, Paul also built up on this term that, you know, pastors, you know, missionaries, we rely on people supporting us. Not only from the back end, you know, our home churches, our sending agency, but also locally, people will receive them too. But with that disciplined faith, it's important, it's something that before we are being called, we got to be trained up for that Christian faith, for the peace, for the love, for the devotion that we are in Christ to serve God. I think wiping up the dust over there, you know, when we go into, is more or less a simple, because when we know that, when we go to item number 4, we're going to see the diaspora peace. You try to bring them peace, but knowing that, expected rejection. We have to do that. Well, even in Canada, in Toronto, there's multi-faith society, so-called. This multiculturalism is hurting our Christian faith too. But it's a simple, it's a gesture telling that you wipe the dust off your feet. Because people reject, well, I gotta go to somewhere else. For those who have a heart to receive the gospel. Today, people are being displaced. People group are traveling around the world for whatever reason, political, war, economical reasons. Recently, we have a term called diaspora missiology. If you're going to seminary today, studying missiology, this is the area you would not miss. Because the old method of sending out missionaries is, I would not say phasing out, but it's that the world has changed. Because people group being displaced all over the world. And so we no longer need like a missionary learning a language for, you know, significant years and land in that place for 40, 50 years. Because we have other people group traveling around. It's more effective too. Because if for Chinese, you know, preaching the gospel to the Chinese is very effective. For Persian, preaching the gospel to the Persian in a different location other than the homeland is also effective. Warbin Cohen, well, he wrote an article about the diaspora characteristics of all the diaspora people group. And the number one he mentioned, whenever there's a people group experiencing displacement, leaving their country for more than two other countries, there must be something wrong, like devastating experience they had before. Like what we've seen today, the Ukraine. You know about Ukraine, you heard the news every day now, for the past, I don't know, 7-10 days. Ukrainians, they are desperate now. And by the way, do you know that in Canada, the Chinese has about 1.8 million people. Ukrainian has 1.4 million. I didn't know that figure until one pastor told me that. I was shocked and surprised. And you don't have to really, because it's diaspora situation now. People move around all over the world. But in Ukraine today, you expect another 5 million, maybe 10 million people leaving the homeland because of the war. As of now, at least 1.5 million has been displaced, going through their own very difficult situation. We have to pray for the Ukrainian, the churches over there too. Koyi, on March 19th, we have set up a special urgent prayer meeting. The title is Crisis in Ukraine. We got to intervene it with prayer. That's why we're setting it up. If you're so interested to join, go to Koyi's website, sign in, and then join that prayer meeting. March 19th, 2 to 3 p.m. Salt and Crips. We'll have people, pastor directly from Ukraine to share with us. And we have the Ukrainian Chinese church, brothers and sisters, to share with us too. Those sharing will be short, like 10 minutes each. But then we'll devote it most time in prayer. We'll ask God to intervene. No human effort can save the Ukrainian now. May God help us. Diaspora peace, where we are being sent, being ambassador of Christ. We're going to bring them the reconciliation between man and God. Peace. Because Jesus Christ himself is the Prince of Peace. We are supposed to be peacemaker. Let us do that continuously. So the message is simple. I don't have enough time to elaborate further. Difficult calling, dangerous task. It's a disciplined faith that we have. And we're looking forward for that diaspora of peace. The four D's is what this passage is trying to tell us. But at the end, let's stop chasing easy. Too many of us are thinking life in Toronto is so beautiful, easy. Government take care of us, even in COVID. You know, people receive lots of, you know, compensation, benefits, without even working. Wow. It's an easy life. But my message to you today, stop chasing easy and make me a blessing. Pray to God. Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Stay in our heart. Make us a blessing. Make NCAC a blessing to the local people and for the people group around the world. There's certainly more that we can do. And may God help us. After my prayer, closing prayer, you will see a video clip. This video clip is what Koyi has done back in 2019. We sent out a team of pastors, co-workers, you know, brothers and sisters, from actually 5 churches, some in the Western region, Edmonton, Calgary, Toronto. And we went out to Mongolia, to Ulaanbaatar. We were in that place. We actually organized a gospel camp, an English gospel camp. You know, that's the gimmick, right? Come and learn English, but then we give you gospel. About 100 people came. 49 of those high school, university students came to the Lord. 49! I haven't seen that kind of number showing up in any camp today in North America because we are in small scale. 100 came, 49% came to the Lord. You will see that video clip. We plan to return in 2020, 2021, but we didn't make it because of the COVID. Last year, we got to have an online kind of a conference so to encourage them to keep on making the connection, and we are going back this year. I hope 90% successful. You know, we are planning that we're going back in August, the end of July, early August. We're going to have another camp, 5 days. If you're so interested to join, talk to me. We have limited space only, but we will have to offer them the gospel. May God help us. Let us have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you. We thank you for calling us to be your faithful servant, even to the degree of taking the gospel to another part of the world. We know the task is difficult. The task is daunting, but then it's not us. It's for you that we may receive the empowerment to serve you. May we ask your guidance to help us, to help NCAC, our brothers and sisters here in this church, to take up a new perspective, like a post-pandemic strategy, to serve you wisely for the work of missions. Thank you for listening to our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen.